Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Psalm 116. Hallel can be viewed as a story. It actually begins in Psalm 111 with the word Hallelujah, where we read his initial words, Odeh et Hashem, I will praise God, a single voice and a quest to expand God's name in the world. He concludes with the words, Tehillato omedet la'ad, its praise exists eternally, which is kind of like saying an A to Z depiction of God's greatness and his desire to praise him eternally. But Psalm 112 moves from a description of man's desire to praise, Odeh, and a list of those praises, to Ashrei Ish Yireat Hashem, fortunate is the man who fears the Lord, which is a psalm of praise for the individual who leads a life infused with righteousness, morality, and praise of God. It concludes with the ultimate reward of the individual who aims to praise God in his lifetime, Ta'avat Rishayim Toveh, the desire of the wicked to disrupt his ways, will be terminated. Psalm 113 continues with a synthesis of the two, Haliyah, Halu Avdei Hashem, Halu Hashem Hashem, praise God, praise those who serve God, praise the name of God. The praising of God in the world is fused together with the one who praises him. With these three psalms as an introduction, Psalm 114 begins with B'tzei Yisrael Mitzrayim, a praise of Israel for the Exodus. I've already mentioned that an analysis of this psalm leads us to an understanding of the important realization one must have of why God changes nature at times. I also wrote about this dramatic beginning, Lo Lanu, not for us, but for you, which we find in Psalm 115. Then we reach Psalm 116, Ahavti, which means I loved it when. It represents a moment in the story when something goes wrong. A crisis develops, a depression sets in. How do we deal with it? One of the exegetical problems with the psalm concerns the time at which the psalm is being recited. The first half of the psalm seems to imply there is an immediate crisis, while the second half seems to imply it has passed and the psalmist is expressing gratitude about the events of the past. Depending on which position you take, you must interpret the grammar of certain parts of the psalm accordingly. This is by no means a simple translation. We should always be aware every translation is an interpretation, and this psalm is a clear example. Ahavti ki yishma Adonai et koli tachanunai. I loved the Lord because when he heard my voice and my supplications. Ki hita ozno li uviyamai ekra, because he inclined his ear to me, and I would call him. The cords of death surrounded me. The pains of Sheol seized me. I found trouble and sorrow. And I called out in the name of God to save my soul. God is filled with grace, righteous, compassion. The Lord preserves the simple or guards the innocent. I was brought low and he saved me. Shuvi nafshi limnuchaychi ki Adonai gamal alaychi. Return God my soul to its rest, for God has given me retribution. Ki chilatzta nafshi mimavet etanim edima traglim edechi. For God has, you have saved my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from failing. I will walk before God in the lands of life. The last two verses, which I'll talk about in the psalm. I kept faith when I said, I'm greatly afflicted. I said in my head, all men lie. Are all false. The psalm is often split into two sections. This is the first section, Psalm verses 1 to 11. And then comes the second section, verses 12 to 19. But I'm going to argue for a redivision of the psalm. Let's first discuss the first 11, or at least the first 8 or 9 verses in this first section. Until verse 8, the psalmist describes an event of crisis, a call to God and deliverance. In verse 3, he describes the terrible position he was in, the clutches of death. In verse 4, he was a transition where he began to call out and his prayers were heard. The positive tone continued for several verses, and we begin to think that he has emerged from the mire and is back on track to praise God. Then we're confronted with two final verses where he returns to his earlier troubles. The final words of the sixth section is Kol Adam Kozev, all men are liars. The problem with the second division is that it seems to leave us hanging. Why conclude with believing that all men lie? What does that add to the conclusion of walking before God after having received deliverance? Perhaps we should reconsider the division of the psalm and say that it's not from 1 to 11, 12 to 19, but from 1 to 9 and 10 to 19. If we end at verse 9, we end with the word Ha'amanti lirot b'tuv lich lifnei Hashem b'artzot achai. I walk in the path of God in this world. That fits in very nicely. In fact, Amos Chacham notes that according to the Septuagint, which is an ancient Greek translation of the Torah by King Ptolemy, section 1 of Tehillim, of this psalm, starts with the word Ahavti, concludes with the positive Aleph, also Etalech Lifnei Hashem Ratzot Achayim, at the end of verse 9. Then, according to the Septuagint, section 2 starts with the words Ha'amanti, which is very nice because now section 2 of Ha'amanti parallels section 1 of Ahavti. In which case, we have section 1, which starts by saying, Ahavti ki yishma Hashem et koli. I loved when God listened to my voice and then went into the troubles. And section 2 started with Ha'amanti ki adaber. I believed in God when I was also in troubles. What we gain from this distinction is a parallelism in the psalm of both halves focusing on a time of depression and crisis and a religious reaction when deliverance came. In the first half, his response is acknowledging God's salvation. The second half goes up one step beyond and asks, well, ma ashiv la Hashem, what can I do to return to God or to give back to God? It focuses on the vow, the neder, that this individual wants to give to God as a result of the goodness which was bestowed upon him. So let's do this division based on the Septuagint. The second section starts with Ha'amanti. Of course, this kills the Hallel service where everyone starts with Ma Shiv La Hashem, but I think this is shot in understanding the psalm. Ha'amanti ki adaber ani aniti ma'od. I kept faith even when I said I'm afflicted. When I said ani amarti b'chazi kol adam kozeb, when I said in my haste all men are false. And now ma'ashiv la'ashem kol tagmula elai. How shall I repay the Lord for the benefits that I received despite the trouble that I went through? The answer is kos yishuot asa v'shem Hashem akra. I'll raise up a cup of salvation, call the name of the Lord. Nidarai l'adonai ha'shalem negdana l'chalamo. I will pay my vows to the Lord. Yakar b'nei Adonai maftal l'chasidav. Precious is the sight of the Lord, is the death of his pious ones. Ana Adonai ki ani avdecha. Ani avdecha ben amatecha l'pitachta l'moserai. O Lord, truly I'm your servant. I'm your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed my bonds. I will pay my vows. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We'll call upon you in the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of the people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Hallelujah. The second half of the psalm speaks of the physical actions of the psalmist that he takes in order to manifest his expression of gratitude to God for bringing him out of his despair. He wants to repay his vows. He offers sacrifices. He calls upon the name of the Lord. He enters the courts of the Lord's house. Repaying a vow finds expression in verse 14 and then repeated again in verse 18. Verse 13 speaks of calling out to God's name, parallels verse 4 using the same language. Verse 17 and 19 enforce the notion of repayment of the vow in terms of an offering in the temple in Jerusalem. What we emerge with is a new component of the Hallel experience. It's not simply a present-day desire to praise and acknowledge God for an historical miracle bestowed upon one. It becomes more personalized, subjective, and introspective. When introducing this subjective component, some bitterness seeps out when recalling times of crisis and isolation. Yet in the psalm, as with all of the Hallel poems, all of the Hallel poems, there is no calling out to God, no petition, Instead, praise and more praise. The only difference in this psalm is the introduction of the melancholy state, which was then overcome through God. The psalm sets out an introspective hallel in the first section in the form of recognition and singing praise. In the second half, the psalmist wants to act on that base level to heighten the religious expression by turning to action and directing oneself to Jerusalem. Through this reinforcement, we appreciate a new aspect of praising God, an important new component of the hallel.